Well, we all know what it's like to deal with temptation. There was a man that decided he was going to give up donuts. Yeah, that's right. And he decided, because he was eating too many of them and he was putting on a lot of weight, he made this determination that he was giving up donuts. And he told all of his friends and he told all of his coworkers that he was going to give up the donuts. And he did really good for quite a while. He was really giving them up. And then one day he came to the office with a bag of donuts. And his friend said, I thought you said you were giving up donuts. He said, well, I woke up this morning. I was really hungry for donuts. And I started praying to God, you know, as I was driving to work. And God told me that when I got to Dunkin', if I drove by Dunkin' Donuts, if that spot right by the front door was open, that I could just go right in and get donuts. And his friend said, wow, that's amazing. You went there and the spot was open. He said, well, I did have to drive around the block about 11 times. We all know what it is to be tempted. But the challenge comes when we get tempted and we least expect it. I've heard it said that we're at our weakest, at our highest moments. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. This was a place of perfection. There was no evil. They had each other to lean on for strength. They had all the food they could want and need. And the serpent appears. And he starts asking these seemingly innocent questions. They were enticed to eat the fruit, and they plunged the world into sin. And it happened in a way that they least expected it. So today I want to look at one of the most popular scriptures on temptation. I want us to read this all together. Go ahead and move it there, Brenda. Okay, let's read this together. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Temptations are a common experience, but one of the dangers is that we underestimate their power. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction. It's when life is good that we really have to watch. It's when it seems like nothing could go wrong. You have a new job, you have a financial change, you feel like everything's going great. You feel strong and you're not worried about anything. Well, I've been a Christian so long. I have such a great knowledge of the Bible. I've been tempted before. I've resisted before. I'm not concerned. Sometimes when God is blessing us the most, we are the most vulnerable to temptation. Jesus' earthly ministry started with what I would describe a mountaintop experience. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 3, looking in verse 21, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you're my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. So after baptism, Jesus is praying, and God spoke to him in a loud, audible voice, you're my son, whom I love, and I'm well pleased with you. And the Spirit descends on him like a dove. Jesus is anointed by the Holy Spirit for his earthly ministry. What an experience. Jesus is only 30 years old, and God had affirmed him. And Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. But what happens next is surprising. If you move over to chapter 4, it says, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during these days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Jesus was driven by the Spirit to a place of testing. And Jesus would face an unbridled attack a war by the devil. In all Scripture, this has to be one of the most intense battles ever recorded with the devil. Now, Jesus doesn't get to go to a nice garden like Eden that was beautiful and comfortable with lots of food around. This was the Judean pasture. There's an actual picture of this. Very desolate place, inhabited by snakes and scorpions. And actually, there's only a few species of birds. Even normal wildlife didn't go to this place. But Jesus was sent here alone. He wasn't married, obviously. He didn't have a family that went with him. His disciples didn't even go. So this account comes from Jesus himself, who told his disciples what happened afterwards. And probably a lot happened that was never recorded. But God's Spirit set the parameters for the test. He knew what would happen, and he knew what Jesus could physically endure. Just like he does with us, God knows what we can handle. And he's given you and I enough strength and spiritual support to endure any test. But let me clarify here. It's not what we think we can handle. Sometimes people say, I just can't handle it. I don't know if I can deal with this. God knows what we can endure. And he knows what's best. And he knows what's going to be for our ultimate good. But it's a lot more than we think we can handle. This wasn't one-time test. It wasn't like a conversation in front of a tree. The duration was 40 days of temptation by the devil. The number 40 throughout the Scripture signifies testing. So Jesus went without food, but he obviously drank water. And God allows Jesus to be tested to his maximum physical level, where Jesus would be at his weakest point. Now, Jesus was fully God, so his divine nature could endure such temptations, but he was fully man. So he was going to face real weakness, and he was going to face real vulnerability. This wasn't a game. This wasn't something where Jesus couldn't fail. This was real. And when it says Jesus was tempted by the devil, that word is used for destruction. The devil was trying to destroy Jesus. And God put him in this position so he would be tested. So let's read what happens. And this is in Luke 4, starting in verse 3. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. The first test, Satan basically comes to Jesus saying, "You're the Son of God. What are you doing in this place? Why don't you get something to eat? Why don't you turn one of these stones into bread?" If you look at this picture, that kind of looks like a loaf of bread there, that stone. Satan attacks Jesus in a very vulnerable place. He's extremely hungry. And Jesus, was he wondering, you know, "I'm the Son of God. Why am I here? And why am I not allowed to eat anything?" But Jesus replies with three words, "It is written." Jesus is physically in a very weak place, and yet he's quoting Scripture. He quotes Deuteronomy 8:13. Basically, bread would taste so good, But I don't live by bread alone. There are more important things than bread. I live out of every word that comes from my Father, and right now, He doesn't want me to eat any bread. So I won't eat any bread. You know, we have to be ready, my friends, because Satan is going to attack us when we're most vulnerable physically and emotionally. He's masterful at drawing us away from what is right. And that's why it's so important to know the scriptures in our heart. I've read that the average Christian has about 5 or 10 scriptures memorized. And they base their whole beliefs on these 5 to 10 scriptures. We're going to need more than this. We need to have the scriptures on our minds so that it will be like a lamp unto our feet. We need to hear the Bible more than just on Sunday morning. Well, the devil changes tactics on Jesus. It says the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. Now, that's impressive. You know, the devil can do some amazing signs and wonders. So was this a vision? Or was this an actual physical movement where the devil took him somewhere? Either way, the devil is boasting about his power. He says, I've been given the kingdoms of the world. And the scripture shows this to be true. This is in 2 Corinthians 4:4, where Satan is called the god of this age. I think it's pretty clear that Satan has infected a majority of the world and a majority of this country. God gives people the freedom to choose. And when people decide they're going to choose sin, God gives people over to their sin. And that's why Satan has the power that he does. But Satan is a liar. He claims something here that's not true. He says, I can give this power to anyone I want to. That's not true. God is in control. Satan has to get permission to do what he's going to do. Remember Job. He had to go to Job. Satan had to go to God before he had his way with Job. And it's the same today. Satan has limited control. I like to think of Satan. I like this description. Satan is like a mean dog on a chain. He can only go so far, but he's still very dangerous. Well, Jesus sees the lie, but I want you to notice the subtle play. If you worship me, this will be all yours. Jesus, there's no one looking. We're all alone. Just for a second, why don't you kneel? Just for a second. If you do this, you won't have to go to the cross. I will make you king. Jesus is being tempted to compromise. It's happening today. Don't worry about taking your cross up. Just say a little prayer. You'll be a Christian. Don't worry about changing how you live. Don't worry about changing how you talk. Don't worry about praying. Don't worry about going to church. Just say you're a Christian. Be one in name only. It's easier that way. Everybody does that. Everybody that's a Christian today, that's what they're all doing. But Jesus didn't waver. He said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus says, I see your offer. But the scripture says that I am to worship God only. I have come to serve. Jesus kept returning to the Word of God over and over, and Satan must have got tired of this, but he didn't respond. He just moved on to another temptation. And keep this in mind when you're tempted, and if you're quoting scripture to the devil or any of his followers, people are just going to ignore you, and they're going to keep on tempting you. But we have to keep on doing what's right. We have to keep on standing for what's right. Satan's not done yet. Since Jesus keeps quoting scripture, Satan starts quoting them also. And that's something to keep in mind. Satan knows the Bible better than you and I. He actually quotes this scripture properly, but he interprets it intentionally wrong. He's trying to use one scripture against another one. Satan is using the scriptures for his own purpose. And that's what he does. Verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. The temple was built on Mount Moriah. This was the highest place where every morning and every evening sacrifice was announced by the priest to the city of Jerusalem. This was 400 feet above the valley of Kidron below. The devil quotes Psalm 91:11. Jesus, you keep quoting scriptures. Let's see if you really believe it. Why don't you prove it? It says if you jump off the temple, you have nothing to worry about. God's angels will catch you and hold you up. And Jesus is ready for an answer. He says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He's saying, if I did such a thing, I would be putting God to the test. And I don't need to jump off this temple to know that angels are guarding me. I have faith. I don't need to test God. The temptation was to win people over by using miracles. Miracles get people's attention. But Jesus only performed miracles to show his authority, to heal hurting people. But it was always to confirm the message that he was the Son of God. Jesus came to teach. He didn't come to perform miracles. This miracle would be the easier way. But again, he resisted. And then the period of intense testing was over, and the devil left. But do you know what happened after the devil left? This is in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11. It records that angels appeared and ministered to him. The angels had been there the whole time. They were ready to guard. They were ready to protect him. And remember this, no matter how intense the temptation you face, God is always with you. You may not be aware of it and you may feel totally alone, but God is with you when you're tempted. But Satan wasn't done. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he was working in the shadows. He was influencing people. He was trying to destroy Jesus and his followers. His days were numbered, and they are numbered. Satan is doing the same to us today. So as we think about this encounter, let me give you some practical ways to deal with temptation. One way, recognize that you could fall. When you think you're strong and you think you're invincible, you're really very weak. Remember, even Jesus was tempted. And I believe that the more mature in the faith you are, the greater and more sophisticated temptation that Satan is going to use. Some of the most well-known Christian leaders in our country have fallen just within the last couple years. Well-respected people whose books are in Christian bookstores and admired and such good writers and such good speakers, they've fallen. Sometimes we feel like we're stronger. Are you stronger than them? You know, in a military war, they're trying to take out, they always go after the commanders, and they go after the officers. Those are the wisest, those are the smartest people. And it's the same in the kingdom of God. God, Satan is going to try to take you out. Those who can do the most for the Lord, he's trying to get us. He's trying to take us out. None of us is immune to his attacks, so be humble enough to recognize it. The second way to deal with temptation is to pray before you start your day. We just studied the Lord's Prayer recently, Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Just like with Jesus, God doesn't tempt us, but he tests us. And that's this word in Matthew. Every day before we start our day, I think it's best to think of the day as we're going into battle. So why not begin your day with a prayer something like this? Lord, I don't know what I'm going to face today, but may the test that I face not be too much. I know the devil is going to come after me. He wants to harm me. He wants to destroy me. May you reveal what he is doing. May you give me the wisdom and strength to resist him. Know your areas of weakness. Make plans to guard yourself. But prayer is the best way to start your day. The third way is to resist the devil and he will flee. There's an old adage, just say no. It's so effective. Jesus said no, but then he quoted scripture again and again. God will protect us, but we have to resist. We have to have an active role and refusing. Sometimes we have to be like Joseph. Remember when Joseph faced a sexual advance against him? He had to flee. And that happens sometimes. But most of the time, it's just about resisting and about saying no. Do you remember the scripture I quoted at the start of the sermon? It says, when you're tempted, God will provide a way out. Now, most people who have fallen into sin will think back before they sinned, and they can pinpoint a time when they realized, this isn't right. I should stop right now. That urging from the Spirit. But they didn't. And so they fell. So where was Jesus' escape? He was stuck in this desolate place. There was no one around. There was no way out. And all he had was what? The Scriptures. And sometimes that's our escape. Knowing the Scriptures. The Scriptures are living and they're powerful and they're active. So all we're going to have sometimes is the Scriptures. We have to hold on to those Scriptures. We have to quote them. And we just have to get through it. We just have to endure it. Now, the fourth way to deal with temptation is to fill your mind with God's Word. Jesus was quoting the Bible throughout this battle with the devil. And for years, preachers have tried to convince people to study their Bibles and to memorize it. And I understand. I've done the same thing. And some people will say, well, I'd like to, but I really don't like studying the Bible. Or it's just too hard to do. So let me have you think of it a little bit different way today. So men here, I want you to imagine something. We're a little outnumbered today, guys. But imagine if you were dating a woman and you really loved her. You really loved her. But she lived 2 hours away from you, and she lived way out in the middle of nowhere, and she lived back country roads, and your GPS wouldn't even work back there. There was all sorts of tricky turns, and there were gravel roads, and there were dirt roads. I was way out in the middle of nowhere. Let me ask you, would you drive to see her if you really loved her? Yeah. And how often would you see her? Often, right? Yeah, you'd be making that. And even though it was a difficult road to find, you'd make that trip so many times, you would know that trip like the back of your hand, and you would get to know her because you loved her. And you would just get to know everything about her. And that's what you do when you love somebody. And that's how it is with God's Word. If you really love the Lord, you're going to read the Bible and study it and pray over it so often, you're going to know it like the back of your hand. It's going to become a part of you. See, the issue of temptation really comes down to this. Who do I love the most? So put a picture of the one you love next to your bed, next to your chair, on your phone. Have pictures of your children and your grandchildren. And be reminded of who you really love. So that when you're tempted, then you won't give up what you know is right and hurt those people for a moment of pleasure. Well, my friend Steve, who I lost, he came and did a couple of revivals for us. And we lost him a little more than a year ago. But you remember when he was here, he talked about his dogs. And he loved his dogs. And I would stay with Steve when I was traveling around often and got to know his dogs. But there was one thing that Steve liked to do, and I saw it happen many times. He would test his dogs. So he would get some meat out, and he would put it on the carpet in front of him, and he would call his dogs to come. So they would run in all excited. They'd see the meat, and he would have them sit right there. And he wouldn't let them eat the meat. And they would look down occasionally at the meat, just occasionally. But the most of the time they were looking at it and they were whimpering and they were crying. But they wouldn't eat that meat. They were looking at their master, whom they loved. And then eventually the test was over. And he let them have the meat. That's what we have to do. When Jesus was being tempted, he looked at his Father. He fixed his eyes on heaven And when we're being tempted, we have to keep our eyes on our Father. Keep our eyes on Him. And we're going to have the power to get through it. We may feel very weak, but we're going to get through it. And that's what I want to use our time of invitation for today. I want us to recommit our lives to reading the Bible, to praying, and to fighting temptation. Because we all have temptation in our lives. And our song today is the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. In the chorus, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus, and whatever that area of temptation you're dealing with, just keep that in mind. Let's all stand as we sing today.